This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Fired up to get on the Rude Guest Hotline. Talk to our boy Peter Rosenberg from NYC. Peter, what's up, man? I know you were at the Knicks game last night. How wild was the Garden?
I was in the building. It was an awesome experience, man. It was a really dope crowd, man. I'll tell you what, though. We talked about my fraudulent fandom of this team last week, right?
Dude, I've been seeing on Instagram. It feels like it's getting realer and realer.
Listen, I remembered, though. Last night reminded me why I like rooting for my teams out of town. I don't like other fans. I forgot. Like, there's a Redskins bar up here on the Upper East Side. I don't go there. I watch at home. Because I don't like most fans. I think fans are stupid and petty and yell negative things at their team, and it's like not the way I'm a fan. I don't like. So while the crowd was mostly great, man, that Knicks fan base, like, they love the team, and I'll give it to them. They're in the building even when the team's not good, right? So I give them that. But, like, you know, two bad possessions, and they're screaming to bench Josh Hart. Like, everyone is just so intense around this team, man. It is just so much pressure to be a New York athlete. And I think New York likes to fancy themselves like, oh, but why wouldn't you want to come here? You know, if you win here, it's not like anywhere else. Yeah, but what's it like when you don't win? I mean, ask Juan Soto. Not great.
Yep.
Not great. And so last night was a long way of saying it was a really great night last night. I'm happy they got the win. I thought they looked really good. But, yeah, the fans are nuts.
Yeah, they're crazy. In New York, Philly, you know, as you go up north.
Boston,
all of them crazy up there, man.
Well, but don't ever forget, I mean, I don't know what it's going to be like in the new era. When we were at the end of the last era of the Commanders, it was our fan base down there was awful, too. Like, the crowd that was left at FedEx was the dregs of society.
Bitter.
So, I didn't like that
dude that was, like, signing checks.
That's right. I'm hoping that we have a new vibe as we move forward. You know, I was only at one game last year, but, of course, I was hanging out with my dear friend Jay-Z, so I didn't get to see – you know, all the regular daggulars. So we'll see what that's like next year.
That's a name drop. When you get to drop that one, that's worth it. You went to the Ravens game, too, though, up in Baltimore. I saw you there, I believe.
I did. And I'll tell you what, I generally really like the Ravens crowd. Of course, that game was then marred by the psychopath who knocked out a Commanders fan after the game.
Oh, yeah,
but like,
God.
But that was not representative of the experience I had. You know, walking in that building fully decked out in Washington stuff has always been chill.
We're talking with our friend Peter Rosenberg. He's got 100 jobs, WWE, ESPN New York, Hot 97, ESPN yelling with Stephen A., all of it, man. Do Knicks fans feel like they can come all the way back in this thing?
Yes. If you were to talk to people, I think yesterday midday, the energy was not, it wasn't like in the dumps, but like the starch was out a little bit. And the friend who took me to the game last night said he sat in the same seats like a week earlier and they were cheaper last night. Right. Which is telling in two ways. One, that my friend has a lot of money, and two, because I certainly wouldn't have bought the tickets, and two, that fans on some level, you know, were already starting to get scared this thing was over. I think after last night, and I predicted this on our show yesterday, I said if they win, and I thought they would win last night, I said if they win, this base is going to be completely back. Like, yeah. All, and this is the thing about 3-1 in every series. And it's so funny because we all pontificate on it constantly. I mean, 3-1 is all the time. We always say the same thing. Fans say the same thing. But the truth is, it really is one game at a time. The Knicks had to win one game at home, and they got a best-case scenario. They won relatively easily. They didn't have to burn out in the fourth quarter. You guys would agree, it felt pretty comfortably in the bag with like 6 or 7
totally.
Minutes left in the fourth.
Yeah, it did.
It got moved to the up-top TV. I didn't even need audio.
The TNT crew basically said the team that wins that game will possibly win the series, and we're going to have to see if that's true.
So you get that win last night, and you do it in pretty easy fashion. Then you go back to Indy, and let's not forget that the hallmark of this Knicks team has been their play on the road throughout the playoffs. Halliburton's a worse player at home. He was awful last night, but he's generally a worse player at home. So then you just got to think, all right, let's win one game on Saturday night. You have a tied series, and then you got to win one game at home. So, like, it can get real very quickly. So, I think people are back to believing in this team.
Talking with our friend Peter Rosenberg here. You can give him a follow at Rosenberg Radio, joining us via the Rude Guest Hotline. Halliburton is a really interesting
lightning
conversation.
Ride.
Like, I mean, going into the playoffs, I think The Athletic did a poll, and he was considered the most overrated player in the NBA.
By the players.
But 2-3 nights ago, he had an unheard-of triple-double without a turnover. It was unbelievable. Where do you land on Halliburton?
I think Halliburton's a stud. I did not understand. That poll to me said that other players must think that he's, like, corny, and they don't like him. You know, like, I've only seen him in WWE situations, and when I see him, he's really cool and really happy to be there. He's a legit, real super fan, and so he seems like a lovely guy. I don't know what his personality is like as an opposing player. I think maybe he has a little bit of that energy that people just find irritating. I can't.
But his daddy leads the way with that.
Seriously,
who does?
His dad.
Oh, exactly. And so maybe that's a big piece of it. But, like, I don't know, guys. Like, I'm not an expert, but I've been watching basketball for, 40 years-ish now. He's a pretty damn good player. And it's not like he's the most hyped-up player in the league. So I didn't understand how he would get most overrated when I don't think the world constantly talks about Tyrese Halliburton. But when you see – when he comes up big in big spots, and the game he played two nights ago, guys, I mean – you cannot be a top – you have to be a top-tier player in this league to put up that kind of triple-double with no turnovers in a playoff game. To me, he's the real deal. I don't know – I didn't understand that logic.
I don't either, man. I think – B and I were talking about this, and perhaps the entire conversation is kind of silly, but there's this whole conversation about the face of the league and is Anthony Edwards ready for that role, and – I mean, sorry to the New York crowd. I think the Pacers win tomorrow night, and I think we're looking at Pacers Thunder in the final. And I think SGA is the face of the league, and maybe it's Halliburton too. Like, to me, rings are what drive face of the league. Like, there's a reason Mahomes is held in a different regard than Lamar or Josh Allen. Like, now Saquon is held in a different regard than Derrick Henry. You know what I'm saying? Like, rings drive it, and I think – the conversation will change, when I think SGA and the Thunder kick whoever's ass they play.
I think you're absolutely right about SGA. I think it will be a huge deal for him to get that title. I think we all saw it with Giannis.
Right.
Giannis is now a tier one player, and when you lead, in particular, a mid kind of market team to a championship, like, you're just that dude. You know what I mean? Like, yes, obviously we know this team is loaded. The Thunder are a really good team up and down. But they have one true standout superstar, and they're from Oklahoma City. I mean, listen, the ratings are going to be abysmal if it's a OKC-Indiana championship, but it doesn't change the reality that he would have made the Oklahoma City Thunder a champion for the first time. I agree with you. I think he's immediately in that conversation. I don't know if Tyrese will be in that conversation. I do think you have to be of superstar level talent.
Yep.
And then there's the next level of superstar. And by the way, I hate to say this, D.C. is sadly the perfect place to measure this. Do you sell out Capital One? What's the name of the building now?
Capital One Arena.
All right. Do you sell out Capital One Arena? Because we know the Wizards don't. So it was always
Brad
about
Beal had that joint rocking.
He did for a minute. but remember, do you remember? I don't even remember this. When we were kids, they would like sell.
That was the marketing plan.
And they would sell Bullets tickets. There was a way to buy them through school.
When we were kids, the Bullets would advertise in the Washington Post the superstar package. And it was just tickets to go see Bird, Magic, Jordan.
Come
MJ.
See the Bullets play the stars of the NBA.
Yes.
Then they said, then they turned into a circus. We have the tallest and the shortest person in the NBA.
That's right. That's right. So that's kind of how I measure is who are people in D.C. coming out to see. Like, when are you going to get Pusha T and Wale courtside, right? And those guys, it's a handful. You know, it's there are not many of them. It's Steph. It's Giannis. I think it now is Anthony Edwards. But, like, there are not a ton of guys who do that. We'll see if SGA can become one of them. But I'm not ready to write off this Knicks basketball team yet. I think they got one last breath. We shall see.
I don't. But we'll see. That, I mean, I'll watch. That's why we watch,
they're
outmatched, right?
I mean, listen, they are. I do believe they are outmatched, particularly from the way the teams are coached. I just think Carlisle has his team running constantly, and it's just really hard to deal with. Last night was a perfect storm. Halliburton was terrible. Everything worked for the Knicks. But I will say, the Knicks did two things that they can control and change them as a team. They played bench players, right? You got to see Landry Shamet play important minutes. Fans have been screaming about that all year. And also, guys, is it me or does it seem like when Karl Anthony Towns catches the ball and decides he wants to go to the rack, he can?
Yes.
Yep. I like when he tucked that thing like he got a football and he goes to the hole and then he goes up for the layup. Now, when he goes through, people get the hell out of his way.
Now, listen, he can't get a foul call to save his life because the team won't stop complaining. Like, I really think the refs are at a point where they're like, Knicks, if you guys don't shut up, we're not giving you a call. And the Knicks will not stop complaining. But that being said, I was sitting pretty close to the basket the Knicks were on going towards in the first half. Guys, there were like three takes that Towns had where he just got completely hammered and got no calls. I would continue, if I'm the Knicks, to pound Carl Anthony Towns going to the basket. I really don't think, as good as Siakam is, I don't think they have a real answer for Carl Anthony Towns. So we'll see whether they can stick with that game plan. I think if they do, they have a chance.
Specifically of Towns, have you seen all the memes and everything? That guy makes some goofy faces. Does that?
Yes.
But are people in New York like defensive of him, or will people still kind of have fun with it?
No. So you mean like the very zesty memes of him?
Yes.
Of him,
like, zesty is a very good word.
Yes. So they are hilarious. It's somewhat offensive, but it is also somewhat hilarious. Fans both find it funny and love him. Like, I don't think it's not mutually exclusive. It's like, yes, there are jokes about Towns, but everyone thinks he's the man. Like, I think particularly that 20-point fourth quarter to save the series in Game 3 really kind of etched him in there. But also, he's a Dominican dude from Jersey. Like, he has real roots here.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you guys could see, like, the vibe yesterday when he had big plays. He is feeding off of the MSG crowd. Like, he seems to really feel comfortable there. I hope he's a piece that stays here. You know, I really think that him and Brunson, I think Brunson is the absolute only unmovable piece on this team. But I hope that I hope that Towns continues to be a part of this too, because I do think he's a really fun player.
I don't know if you were at the game, so you probably didn't see it last night. But Barkley asked him last night, he said, why do you be getting all those dumb fouls? And Towns just goes, God only knows, which I thought was just a really good interaction.
That is awesome. I did not know he said that because, man, some of those fouls are dumb. That is the only way to say it.
Dude, I'll send you this tweet. I'm sure your producers are on it, but that's good fodder for you guys. But, dude, I don't know this, and obviously ESPN New York's a behemoth. Do you guys ever get Knicks players on?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So funny that you say that. We've been the home of the Knicks since I've gotten there. We get almost no Knicks.
Like
this year we got none. Alan Hahn, who I do the show with in the afternoon.
Yeah.
He's the Knicks sideline reporter who fills in for Mike Breen. Like he does color commentary, play by play, and everything. He does everything you can do. And we still don't get players. Let me tell you something, guys. You want to hear the most Snyder-like thing of all time about Dolan,
sure.
And I can't complain about it the way I want up here, because frankly, I would love for our show to end up on MSG one day. I don't know if you guys heard this. Did you hear that Dolan either did or threatened to sue Beyonce?
No. What?
So this was like sort of off the radar, but tell me this. If this isn't the most Dan Snyder thing you've ever heard. So on Beyonce's current tour, which I went to, it's going to be in D.C. July 4th weekend. It's fantastic.
I think you're going, right, B? Or your daughters are going? Yeah.
I could not recommend it more. It's incredible. But, you know, during these big stadium tours, the artist changes outfits and they run like videos for 2 minutes or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in one of the videos they made, Beyonce is like 400 feet tall. She's like a King Kong Beyonce, right? And she's walking through cities. In New York, she picks up the Statue of Liberty and lifts her up and uses the light to light her cigarette, right? Like it's just like fun stuff. In Las Vegas, she picked up the Sphere, which is owned by MSG and Jim Dolan.
Yeah.
She picked up the Sphere and spun it on her finger as a basketball. And they threatened to sue her. And they took it out of the thing, and now she picks up Allegiant Stadium.
What on what grounds? Why?
I guess they didn't clear it, and I guess they just did it rogue, and when they heard about it, sued her or threatened to sue. But, like, is that not the most Dan Snyder not seeing the forest through the trees?
Yeah.
Like,
I saw a special on Dolan one day. Complete ass.
Beyonce is the most famous person on the planet. Beyonce and Taylor Swift are kind of 1 and 1A, whatever. Like,
right.
You should want that, right?
Not only that, the most famous woman on the planet is not only including you in her show and advertising your new building, which, by the way, not everybody knows yet, but also, by doing that, it's making your building the landmark thing in Las Vegas.
Yep.
Like, it makes no sense. But, like, sometimes these people who manage to be billionaires, you're like, how did they make any money? Like, it's crazy. I just thought everyone would get a kick out of that because it was so Snyder-esque to me.
So let's guess. So in New York, she lit a cig off Statue of Liberty's flame. In Vegas, she spun around Allegiant Stadium. What do we think Beyonce will do in D.C.?
Well, I think
she's gonna come when the new stadium is here.
No, she's coming in a month.
Oh, so she'll probably do something with the White House or. Capital.
I think in D.C. I think they did show it, and I think she like stops over the White House and like looked at it. Natalie, was that it? Was it at the White House? I think it was the White House.
I tell you, this is just my mind, but I'm a fan of Beyonce. I think she's a beautiful woman. Get some swinging around the Washington Monument as a big old pole, B. A big old pole, B.
Well, how about use it like a baseball bat?
Yeah, that'd be dope.
JP not thinking sports, dog.
Not with Beyonce. Oh,
he's not thinking sports right now, Peter.
Oh. Hey, listen, I'm not mad at you.
He's not thinking sports. He sees a pole, dog.
There's a moment during that show when me and my wife looked at each other. She came out. We were like in the standing room area. She walked, you know, they like go around in circles. And like at one point she came right by us and we just both looked at her. I just looked at my wife. We just shook our head. I was like, this woman is
put together
on another planet.
Hey, sure. Man, that's that South, baby.
Hey, man, thank you, dude.
Houston, Texas, baby.
Hey, I'm big congratulations to Ellie and Jake. I'm coming down there tomorrow for their wedding in D.C.
Awesome.
I'll be there for 2 seconds, so big congrats to them. I won't be around long enough to spend time with you boys, but I love you all.
I got a tea time Sunday morning. All right, Peter, thank you, buddy.
We do?
Later, guys.
See
we
you,
do,
man.
JP?
We'll work on it.
We do. Good. We.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.